and welcome to Endercast, more fun than a game of buggers and astronauts. You are listening to episode 12, Ender's Teacher. Today is May 4th, 2013. I'm Kelly from endernews.com, and I'm also joined today by Crystal from enderwigan.net. Say hi, Crystal.
Hey, everyone. So for this episode, we are going to be discussing a lot of the exciting things that happened this week. There was a trailer announcement. The trailer is going to be coming on May 7th. That's next week, Tuesday, at 1 p.m. Pacific. Entertainment Weekly gave us our first look at Ben Kingsley as Maser Rackham. We're going to talk a bit about the tattoos that he has on his face. And we're going to have our discussion about our teaser breakdown. And joining us for all of these discussions this week is a guest we have from fandom.net, or endersgamefandom.net, right? Her name is Jennifer Vila. Say hi, Jennifer.
Hi, everyone.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about your history with the story of Ender's Game to start off?
I first read Ender's Game when, in my first year of college, one of my professors had us read it, and I totally fell in love with the story of Ender. So ever since then, I've been following, I've heard they were making a movie, so I was following, and then I found all your fan sites, and I decided to join along.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun, yeah. And Jennifer is going to be part of the Google Hangout, right, next week the trailer debut. So Kelly's going to be there. I'm going to be there. There's going to be other fan sites there. It's going to be really fun. I mean, I'm getting a little nervous about it. I don't know about you guys.
I'm not a little bit nervous.
I'm starting to think about all the people that are going to be watching, like press and things, and I'm just kind of trying not to freak out, but I can feel the freak out underneath the surface.
We'll be fine. At least we've done these podcasts, so we're used to
talking.
I don't know, kind of talking.
Yeah, right? Yeah, definitely.
When I go back and listen to past episodes, I'm like, yeah, I don't think this isn't going to work. Because I'm so used to talking casually to you, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess we'll figure it out, right?
Yeah, hopefully. I'm just nervous about being recorded on video, watching the trailer.
I
was thinking, oh, this is actually pretty genius, you know? I mean, they've gotten their most hardcore fans.
Hey.
They've got them on video watching the trailer that they've been waiting for decades.
But here's the thing. How can they expect us to be coherent after that? I'm not
going
to be able to talk to anybody. I'm just going to go in my room now and cry.
Sorry, what did you say, Jennifer?
They're going to see our reactions to the trailer, too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We're being recorded watching it for the first time.
But I don't think our faces are going to be really big. Because remember, I don't know if you... Jennifer, have you done the test run with Danielle? Because, you know, if you're not making noise, you're not zoomed in on. So I'm hoping if I just, like, sit here quietly with my hand over my mouth, nobody will see me, like, act like a crazy person.
Yeah.
It'll be funny, though. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, even if we're not making noise, isn't everybody on the screen, basically?
Yeah, but look small. So yeah, I can deal with small. I just don't want them zoomed in, like... Here's Kelly from Ender News, sobbing. It's not good.
Just as long as none of us, like, flaps our arms around or anything. Like, fanning your face and things like that. Definitely don't want to be caught on camera doing something like that.
No pressure.
Oh, but you know, yesterday, I was telling my husband that I was getting nervous about it, and he told me, he's like, oh, well, you know, when you get nervous, you tend to start talking Valley Girl. And I was like, what?
That's not helpful at all.
I know. I was like, are you serious? And he said, yeah, you start saying like a lot and your voice gets a little high. And I was like, oh my God.
I just don't know. I wish they would, like, I mean, I would love to see it in advance. Like, I'm kind of hoping, and I don't know if that's going to happen. I would like to see it before the hangout, and then during the hangout, we can, you know, watch it. But I'm just
I think they're doing it on purpose. You know, they want to be able to capture their fan, their pure fan reaction. So, But yeah, so let's
What if this happens and we're never invited to anything ever again?
Oh god, that'd be a nightmare.
No.
But that's like totally possible too, so
I'm fine. We're gonna be great.
Yeah. Alright, so I'm gonna play the video of I don't know where I put it. The teaser trailer? Yeah. It's so funny because a lot of the reactions that I saw were basically criticizing, you know, like, oh my god, what is this thing with teasers for teasers? But, you know, I'll take it.
But the whole point that people are talking about it, even if they're angry, means it's working.
Okay? Yeah. Because, I mean, you need to get people to come to your event, and if you want them to come, you have to have something to buzz about, right? So, yeah, I totally get it. And I don't know, it came out of nowhere. Right? I mean, it was posted by some blog. I got uploaded to Facebook. And then when I came back to my computer, I was like, oh my god, it leaked. Yeah. And I was watching it. I was like, ah!
It was 2 a.m. my time when the teaser for the teaser came online. And then I woke up and I rolled over and picked up my phone. And I was like, ah, oh, god, you know, figures. Because I was like, oh, never mind. Just so irritating when stuff doesn't like work out the way you want it to.
Funny story is I was like sitting here and I was thinking, oh my god, it's 2 a.m. for her. Should I call her? Would she get mad? Would she get mad if I didn't call her? And then turns out I didn't even have her right phone number. So if I had called, I don't know who would have answered.
She's been texting someone else for months thinking that I'm some like awful jerk. Not my number. Funny.
All right, so I'm going to play the teaser now. Then we can talk about it after.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Harrison Ford. I play Colonel Hiram Graff in the upcoming film Ender's Game.
I'm Asa Butterfield, and I play Ender Wiggin, an underdog who rises to become a leader and humanity's best hope for survival against an imminent invasion.
On May 7th, you'll get your first look at Ender's Game, with the worldwide premiere of the first trailer, exclusively, on Google and YouTube.
Enjoy. And remember, on November 1st, the enemy's gate is down.
You'll be the finest commander we've ever trained.
So I'm not the first?
No. But you will be the last.
Alright, so that was the teaser for the teaser. And so let's talk a bit about, because one of the things I noticed a lot of people talking about was how Asa and Harrison look very stiff and bored. Did you guys think they look like that? I mean,
they did kind of look positioned in those chairs, didn't they? Like, the way Asa was holding his hands, I was like, oh, like American Girl doll kind of thing.
And did you guys notice that right at the end, when he says enemy's gate is down and he starts fading
out?
Yeah, he looks like he's cracking up. Marisa.
The thing that made me laugh, and I'm not trying to insult Harrison Ford, of course not, but when he was like exclusively on Google and YouTube, it was almost as if he was like, what? Google and, you know, it's like it's the first time he read it. And it was just funny.
Yeah, that part was very teleprompter.
On Google and YouTube.
What made me laugh the most was seeing Asa totally hold back that laugh that he wanted to bring out after his first lines.
Yeah, that was cute. But yeah, okay, so let's break down what
just
we got.
Just watching that again, and that's like the 10th time I've seen it, my face has turned red. Like, I'm suppressing emotion in my face.
Yeah, you know, like, when I watched it, I was in a hurry to post it, right? So I watched it really quick, and I was like, holy cow, what was that? And I was just kind of like, I didn't know what to make of it, and I was trying really hard to post it and stuff, and then while I was trying to post, my brain was doing a freak out because, you know, the part that really took me by surprise was the battle room.
You know, like, there are way more stars than I thought there would be.
Yeah.
And there's, like, when he jumped, that scene where he's like jump. Someone criticized the way he's jumping out of the gate. I don't care about that. It looks awesome. Anyway, he's like jumping out. There's like a thousand stars in there, like all stuck together.
Yeah, well,
and it's
actually,
so huge.
You know, the other thing too is okay. So let's back up a little bit because the first thing that they show is the battle school, and mm-hmm. it's orbiting around around Earth, and you can see the battle room in it. And there mm-hmm. are, you can see how many stars are in there.
So many.
Yeah. It's crazy. And I don't know. I mean, the way that it moves is really cool, right? It looks like the top ring part is rotating, which is kind of what they said in the book, right? That that's how they can walk around and stuff. Did you guys notice anything else about the battle school?
I'm wondering. You see how I have a still up in front of me, but there's the battle room, and then there's a huge sort of main compartment, and then there's like this arm sticking out from it. Any idea what that is? Do you think it's like where the ships dock?
What do you mean? In the back?
There's like, you know, there's the battle room, and then there's the main compartment, and then there's this, like, you know, the middle part and a small little entrance hole, and then there's this arm sticking out from it. And to me, it looks like maybe a ship could dock there, like its nose could go in, but I don't really know anything about that. Can you guys both see that? I don't know, Jennifer.
Where is the arm you're talking about?
I just sent you a picture in the chat.
Yeah, but what is the, are you talking about
like,
in the front of
the way to the right.
Oh. I don't know. I mean, I kind of thought that was like a communication thing.
Like an antenna?
Yeah. Because I guess
could
I kind
be.
Of thought that...
see that hole? The hole? I thought like a ship could land there. Uh-huh. And then, but then, I don't know.
Well, I kind of thought that the docking part of the school was in the back. You know, underneath the battle school.
That could as well be too, yeah. I don't know.
I guess what was interesting to me, though, is... Because, I mean, obviously, if you're entering the battle room from the part connected to the battle school, I mean, you have to be able to get to the other gate, right?
This is what I don't understand about the whole null gravity thing. And it's just because I'm completely uneducated about that. I'll just admit it. I have no idea. Like, there must be a split second when it's connected to the gates. And the only thing I can think is that the gates are completely round. And so the framework around the gates rotates or what? Because the battleform itself must hold still, but then it must be connected to let the kids get in and out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when it's connected, I guess the framework must rotate or something.
Well, I mean, there's that ring. There's like two rings, or actually maybe even three. There's like one ring going around like horizontally with the IF symbol on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one up at the top, and that's connected to the large outer ring.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it's the one that goes horizontally that has the IF symbol on it. I think that's where they would just walk through to get to the other side, to get to the other gate, you know?
Yeah, I agree. But my question is, when it's connected, when it's connected to the battle room to let them in and out, it either can't be rotating or there must be some framework that keeps rotating like around the kids, you know? But I don't know how that works.
Oh, so you're saying that this ring with the IF logo thing is turning?
No, but I don't know, maybe. Because, like, how do the kids get in and out of the battle room? If they're standing in the hallway where there is gravity, looking into a room where there isn't gravity, because it's holding still, then they must be rotating, right?
Well, I mean, it could be that they have boots, like magnetic boots. I don't know. And then they can just jump in.
I mean, I know in the book, the hallway, there was gravity, but I don't know. You know, in movies, sometimes you have to, you know, just... You know, kind of squint and...
Yeah,
and,
it makes me think back to Star Trek. I can't remember. Was it Star Trek 6 with the gravity boots? Do you guys remember which Star Trek
I'm
talking
about? No, I don't remember
that,
no.
I think it was 6. Not sure. It was the last one, I think, with the Chang. Anyway, they had boots that had them stick to the ground because they were called gravity boots. So, I don't know. I thought maybe they have something like that connected to their flight suits. Oh,
maybe.
No.
That might be totally true. I don't know.
Sorry. Can you guys hear my chicken?
A little bit. I kind of
it. All right. So after that, we get a look of Graf saying you'll be the finest commander we've ever trained, right?
And we got to hear Ace's American accent, which
yeah,
I was actually really
yeah,
impressed with. Like,
cool.
The way he says first, yeah. I was expecting, because it is that R sometimes yeah. that's really hard. And, you know, he definitely yeah. gave first a very good, I mean, it sounded good to me. I went back and listened to it a couple times and was impressed.
What I found interesting about that part is I didn't know Harrison Ford talking until I saw him. I thought it was just that voiceover that always comes
right,
out.
Right, yeah.
Taylor.
And it
so,
is
yeah.
Oh, you know, I just noticed that there's red exclamation points all around the enemy's gate.
Yeah. If you, there's like two rows of them or something, right? It looks like it's all kind of highlighted, almost like.
Yeah.
You know
what was kind of amazing to me is that, because Gavin Hood has said in EW, he said that the battle room is about the size of a football field, so it's pretty big, right?
Yeah.
But if you... Okay, so sorry to backtrack, but I went back to the part with the battle room, and you can see the enemy's gate across
mm-hmm.
the way,
mm-hmm.
and it looks so small, you know?
It does look small, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, just the scale of the whole thing, I don't know, I found that pretty amazing. And
I know that... You know, there are some people who were involved in, like, the planning of the authorized Ender Companion and who did, like, some work with, you know, designing the battle room for various outlets, like the comic book they've been involved in. So they were a little upset at the way they did the battle room. I know Steven Zywak, he contributes a lot to the Ender's Game fandom, and he was complaining that, you know, if it's clear, if they can see outside, then they can see Earth at all times. So there isn't any of this, you know, disorientation where they're not sure where they are. And I just kind of disagreed with him because I think it would still just be completely and utterly disorienting. And like, I mean, I guess it would be different if you couldn't see anything outside, but it would be kind of almost distracting. And if you were floating around, flipping around, you would have no idea where you were, whether you can see Earth outside or not, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And
I
really like that.
Yeah, I think it looks awesome. I mean,
yeah.
I think it would be terrifying, too. You know, you're basically over the Earth.
I know. It adds a whole other element of crazy to it.
Yeah, but I see what you mean, though, because if you have them in this environment, then obviously your brain is going to tell you that this way is down, right?
Right, because of just the position of the Earth, right?
But that kind of reinforces Ender's lesson, right?
Right.
I mean... Your brain is going to tell you that the Earth is down there, that is down. And so his lesson where the enemy's gate is down and you have to change your thinking about that, that kind of makes it even more concrete, you know, like how
I think so too, yeah.
you have to reconfigure. And there's this huge reminder right there. And that's so hard to ignore for your brain, right? But that just makes it even more of a challenge for his soldiers, right?
Yeah. Someone pointed out to me, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that possibly the red exclamation points are signals to show where the enemy's gate is when you're disoriented in there.
Right.
Yeah. Or maybe that's where they have to press their helmets to win or something.
Yeah.
Possibly, yeah.
I'm so excited to see that. It's ridiculous.
Oh, but yeah, so when the battle room scene like popped up, like it looked so different from the poster. I had figured that the poster was artwork.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, to see it was just darker, and mm-hmm. there's so many more stars, and there's so much going on. And
but again, if you can see outside, you know, daytime, it would be so much brighter. So
yeah,
that's another thing I think that's really cool about it.
Yeah,
someone pointed out on Ender News that in the trailer, there's the scene where the kid comes hurling toward the side of the battle room and like hits the wall. It's clearly a member of Dragon Army, and you can see he's attached to that line, and that's totally Aramis Knight. It's Bean, and someone pointed that out, and then I guess like his mom said something somewhere about like it is actually Aramis Knight, and they were so excited about that. Like, and I didn't even really notice that line at first.
Yeah.
You know, when he comes like hurling toward the wall, but then when I froze it, I was like, "Oh, that's you know, I'm so glad they included that."
Yeah. And then someone else commented on my Facebook page, and they were saying, "Yeah, look at the you can see the way the stars are configured, so we know what scene that is." You know,
because
the reason he had to go out with the line was because they couldn't see around the big wall, right?
Right, that huge wall there.
Yeah. So yeah, that was pretty cool.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. Oh, this is finally happening.
And then we get a good look at that room in the barracks, and someone was arguing with me, that's the wrong word. They're having this discussion on Endernews about whether or not that's Dragon Army, and it so clearly is Dragon Army. I mean, the Dragon Army logo is in the back, and you've got, like, the launchies. I guess people who've read Ender's Game and haven't read Ender's Shadow don't realize, you know, spoiler, how Bean created Dragon's Army. You know, he wrote the entire roster, and he was, like, given the choice between launchies and a bunch of people who were, like, basically on the reject list that the other commanders couldn't work with. And so it's just cool because, like, you see what we're seeing here. It's, like, this group of kids that were chosen for Ender's Army. And look at them. It's so crazy.
It's so weird. I didn't even notice a dragon behind the boy.
Yeah, there's a Dragon Army. But here's the weird thing. We've been assuming that Ender and Bean were in the same launch group. And now I'm just not so sure.
Yeah, because, I mean, okay.
Because he's obviously in, like, launchy clothes.
Yeah, because for people who don't know, in this picture, the named characters that we know of that we can see, on the far right, there's Fly Molo, two kids over, there's Ally in a launchy suit, and then two kids after that, there's Bean, and mm-hmm. then I also see Bernard.
That's Bernard, yeah.
Yeah, and
then, I recognize that boy next to Bernard, but I don't remember what his name is.
I don't know
who that is. And then there's Kylan, I don't know, Rambo, I don't know, yeah. Thingmaker, standing
And he's wearing a salamander.
And the girl on the left is Peyton. I don't know if she pronounces her name Bourgeois or, I don't know. That I know her name's Peyton.
And she's got, like, the Phoenix logo on her, I think.
Right, which is really awesome.
You know, I just noticed, though, I didn't notice this before, but their shirts match their army.
Yeah, the colors of the badges. And then there's a girl in red back there. I don't know if that's Rat Army or whatever.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. The boy next to Bernard, he must be from Asp, right?
Mm-hmm. He's got that. Or it could be Phoenix, too. It's the same kind of blue, but you can't really tell in the picture.
I don't know. I mean, his shirt looks like a darker blue from hers. Hers looks more like an aqua.
Maybe. But just looking at this picture, it makes me... because. I'm trying not to see what I can say. I'm not so sure anymore, I mean, about them being in the same launch group. Because, I mean, those kids are obviously, I don't know, it depends on how fast they progress. I imagine that so much of that is just cut out that we don't even know. Even in the film, I can't imagine. I mean, Ender must progress really, really, really quickly in the film.
Well, I guess what makes sense to me, because I'm trying to wonder a lot why they would be all in different colors and stuff. But this must be when he first gets Dragon Army.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's like when he first walks in and this is his new army and they're all staring him down. Yeah. Like, seriously, this kid is small and he's been here 5 days, you know, whatever.
But
he already has an army.
Yeah, so, I mean, in the book, he does leave Ally and Bean and his other launchies behind because he gets transferred early, right? So, yeah.
Well, in the book, we don't even know about Bean until Dragon Army, because that's where Bean shows up.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But in Ender's Shadow, you know, we know that Bean is the one that, like, created this army. They, like, gave Bean a task because he was so brilliant to, like, just come up with a theoretical army. And, you know, I don't know how the movie's dealing with that.
It's interesting to see Connor Carroll there as Bernard.
Yeah. I can imagine that's very surprising for people.
Yeah.
All right.
But I don't know. I mean, like, it would make sense, like, if they're going with his character in a different direction. Maybe he, I don't know, maybe he and Ender make up, or maybe it's just, like, another, you know, if Ender were being challenged to have, like, this old bully in his army, that would be a, you know, a bit of a...
Yeah.
Be obnoxious.
Speaking of bullies, Fly Molo really doesn't look like he likes Ender.
I know. Look at him. He's, like, not even happy.
He's like, get out of here. You're not my commander.
And the girl on the far left is just not having any of it. She's like, no. This is ridiculous. It's funny.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about Mazer. Because after... I'm really happy that they included this... him saying this. the whole thing about how he will be the last.
Right.
That's always been a really one of my favorite parts of the book, you know, is when Ender asks whether he, you know, what does he say? He says, "I'm not the first." It's slightly different in the movie.
Right.
Right. But he basically tells him, "No, you're not the first, but you will be the last. There's no time to train anyone else."
Yeah, he says they're, you know, he's just putting pressure on him, like, we don't have enough time for anybody else. So.
Yeah. So, Jennifer, what did you think about the tattoos on Ben Kingsley's face?
I thought those were awesome. I was not expecting those face tattoos. I think it's such a great touch to them. It takes a twist to, like, the whole space theme of Battlefield and everything. I don't think a lot of people would expect that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the thing is, a lot of people who haven't, like, really delved into Ender fandom is that they don't know that he was from New Zealand, that he was part, like, Maori. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some people who were upset, you know, there are so few people of color, I guess, in Hollywood, and why did they not cast a true Maori? You know, and I understand that. Like, I get their point, but let's face it, when you have a big budget film like this, you need big names to head it up, and Sir Ben Kingsley is huge, you know, and for people who are sort of disenchanted with that whole, you know, I get that, but I think he's an amazing actor, and I think he'll really do the role justice, you know what I mean? And I think, like, picking some other, you know, newcomer, you know, you never know how that's going to go.
Well, I mean, I guess the other thing for me is that I know he's English, but he's Indian, so it's not like he's, you know, like some white guy that they cast. In Hunger Games they talk a lot about whitewashing for Katniss, but I mean I don't necessarily think that this is the case here, because
no, neither do I.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I understand what they're saying. I just kind of disagree, I guess. That's the main thing.
It's not like this is Ben Affleck saying that, hey, hi, my name is Tony Mendez.
Right.
You know, so I don't know.
That would be different. No, but I know we've been hinting at this in previous podcast episodes, but
This is how he walked into our interview.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
we weren't expecting to talk to Ben Kingsley. And then they were like, he's totally willing to give you like 10 minutes at a time. And they ushered us in this like creepy room, like creepy set room. And then he comes in, he's got these facial tattoos all over him. And that was the craziest part of the day, because I could deal. We're talking like the kids, and like everyone was super happy and cool and nice, and then Ben Kingsley walks in with these like kick-ass tattoos on his face. I'm just like, I am not dealing with this.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like, if you could capture the, like, freeze your brain in a deer in headlights moment.
I was like, what that, is going
yeah,
on?
That was me. I, like, he walked in, I was like, oh my
I know.
God.
I wanted to excuse myself. I'm like, you guys just get a recording of this. I have to go outside where there's air. And
I know.
And
then you start talking to him, and it's just like, oh my God, I really hope I don't pee my pants in front of him.
He's so professional and like well-spoken that I was like, hey, you know, I'm an idiot. Here I have my recorder. I just felt crazy that day anyway, but that was the.
So visiting a set was a new experience for me and Kelly. So I found it actually a little unnerving the way that all of a sudden everybody just honed in on him and like shoved like their recorders in his face. But I guess
I was so uncomfortable.
But I guess that's normal, like, right?
I guess. I'm sure he's used to it, but I felt like a jerk.
I know, me too.
But then I was like, if I stand in the back, I can't hear anything. Better get out there and shove my recorder in his face. Hey, you know, I don't like that whole scenario anyway, like reporters on a whole, like I get like really bad secondhand embarrassment from trying to like get up in someone's face. Like I would never do that. I don't know, crazy.
Okay, so I want you to talk about one more thing, because I mean it's 10 seconds, so we don't have too much to talk about. I mean, we have a lot to talk about, but not too much. But So when they first show the battle room, they show somebody jumping in, and then they show someone kind of, I guess, hitting a star, and their guns fly off, mm-hmm. and they look like they're in trouble.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, looking back at the freeze frame, I think that could be Petra.
Yeah.
The
one in the Salamander Army helmet?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because, I thought so, too.
Because, Asa does talk about that scene, right? He talks about how Petra is in trouble and he disobeys orders and goes in and helps her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, like when I go back and look, it does look like it's her face, you know, in there.
Right.
So, yeah.
And I think that him going, disobeying orders to go and rescue someone makes him far more sympathetic than him being like, hey, I could totally fix this. Let me just go. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
And it is kind of hard to sympathize with Ender sometimes because he is kind of, you know, he knows how to do everything and he's awesome. In a movie, I think if they made it like that, he would come off as like unbearable. Like he has to have some kind of, there has to be a scene where you feel, okay, he did the right thing. And I don't think him jumping in and showing off is going to be it in a film.
All right. So any other thoughts on the teaser?
I just want to see the whole thing.
I've heard that it's 2 minutes or longer. I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle that much trailer.
If we weren't watching it live, I would be able to handle it. But now I'm just like, going to have to control my face.
But what do you guys think of the way the logo comes in?
To be honest, I saw someone made like a GIF or GIF or whatever of that. And I didn't even notice it when I watched it because I didn't care. I was like going back to the beginning. It's nice, you know.
I like the animation, but I think the lens flare is a little too bright.
It does get a little, yeah. I mean, it's not anything to write home about, I guess. It's just, you know, pretty typical sci-fi fare. I'm really hoping,
like,
go ahead.
I don't want to give out any spoilers or anything, but it kind of looks like the world of the format when Ender presses the button.
Yeah, it kind of does in the trailer. Yeah. It looks like some blast or something, yeah. I wonder if that's what they were going for. I'm kind of wondering if the IFSentinel.com, if that's going to, like, launch soon. Because, you know, they're advertising it now in the trailer. And you think that they're going to put the trailer on the website, right? Surely. They can't just, you know, stick it on YouTube or whatever.
I don't know. I mean, if IFSentinel is going to be, like, a role-playing kind of thing, I don't know, but at the same time, yeah, you would think that they would have to break, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, it needs
my
to
role
be
playing
because,
I mean,
right,
I don't know, maybe I'll launch another website too.
Maybe, who knows.
I mean, they've got to have endersgamemovie.com too, right?
Yeah, isn't that the one that was redirecting Ender's Game? Yeah, it sends you right to the Sentinel, so maybe.
Okay, we need to get to get down to business here. We need to. The reason that we asked Jennifer on here today is because we got her to agree to be on Pop Quiz Fart Eater.
Yay!
Yay!
So, are you ready, Jennifer?
All right. I don't guarantee I'll be a commander, but I'll try.
That's okay. That's okay. We need a fart eater at some point, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so the way this is going to work is we are going to ask you 5 questions in increasing difficulty, and you just have to answer them as soon as you can, and we'll let you know what your score is in the end. As long as you get at least 3 out of 5, you'll be a commander.
Great. Sound good?
Yep.
Okay,
Kelly, why don't you start off?
All right, I'm going to ask the first question. Jennifer, how do you pronounce the name of the commander of Salamander Army?
Let's see. I would pronounce it Bonzo de Madrid.
Are we accepting that? I'm not sure. Just the first name. How would you pronounce the first name? Just try it again.
Bonzo.
Oh, I'm not so sure. Crystal, what do you think?
I don't think that's correct, unfortunately. I think it's Bonzo.
Yeah, Bonzo. Like, I think that was the problem in the book, is that that there was saying Bonzo. But it's so hard because I'm like, maybe I'm just not hearing her correctly. I don't know. Let's leave that one up in the air. Should we?
All right. So let's go on to the next one. What is the first message that Ender broadcasts to his launchy group to get back at Bernard?
On the desks.
Oh.
He sends out a message.
Oh, my God. I would just have to say, watch your butt. Bernard is watching or something around there. From God?
Yeah, I mean, that's so close that I just don't even know.
All right, why don't we give that one to her? It was cover your butt. Good. Yeah, it was cover your butt. Bernard is watching.
But that's good enough.
Okay, so who does he sign it as, though?
She said that.
Oh, she did? Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I'm just not listening good, apparently. Okay. All right, next question.
Okay.
They get harder from here on out.
Oh, great.
it just depends. Okay. Name the item that Bean uses to propel himself around the battle room.
Oh, man.
It was a rope type thing. There's a hint.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I do not remember. Okay. I will just have to pass on that one because I'm totally drawing a blank.
All right.
It's called the deadline.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's all the pressure. It's the pressure. Crystal, the next one?
Yeah,
okay. Next question. Which army did Dragon first face in the battle room?
Wow, yeah. These are hard questions. Oh, man. Which army? The two armies that pop in my head are Asp Army or Rat Army, and I think they're both wrong. So, I'll just say Rat Army.
No, that's not right. It was Rabbit.
Rabbit? Oh, nice.
Man.
Uh-oh, I think we have a fart eater.
Jennifer, you're our first fart eater. Are you going to be at the top of the fart eater listings?
Hey, at least I'm the first.
Okay, wait. Let's ask the last
one
question.
One more question.
Yeah, let's ask the last question, then you can have your score.
Okay.
All right. Which soldier did Bean use as a shield when Dragon Army faced two armies at once?
Okay, yeah. I will pass on that and I'll become your first fart eater.
Okay. Let's not give away that answer, then we can reuse that question for someone.
Yeah.
Practice at home.
All right, so I guess
you're our first
are congratulations
eater.
In order? I don't think so.
I think congratulations are in order.
Oh, yeah,
I
mean, you're the first.
The first fart eater. That's nice.
You know, right. Though, you have helped
Maybe
us,
Crystal
though.
Will send you a pin.
Well, you know what's funny, though, is that it was our thing is called Pop Quiz Fart Eater, and we have only had two commanders so far, and I was thinking, wow, it's not really Pop Quiz Fart Eater if we don't have any fart eaters, so thank you.
Yeah.
We're grateful to you.
Oh, well.
Funny.
Okay.
Well, Ivana, thank you so much for having you on the show. I know we've kept you for a while, so...
No. Thank you guys for inviting me. It was fun.
And I'm glad you came on because I think Crystal and I are so used to talking to two people. I'm afraid we leave you out of family. Jennifer,
no.
We just talk over everybody.
No.
We're super glad you came on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun time.
Thank you.
And I guess we will see you on Tuesday. And I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be exciting.
Three more days.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
All right, Jennifer. Well, we'll talk to you later, okay?
All right. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye.
All right. So we want to thank you guys for listening to our show. Just a couple things to mention. if you guys weren't aware, Iron Man 3 opened this weekend, and Ben Kingsley is in that. So you guys want, if you guys want, go out and see him in that. You can also pick up a copy of this week's Entertainment Weekly, because the Mazer still that Entertainment Weekly released is going to be in the print version. You want to look for the one with Robert Downey Jr. and Gwyneth Paltrow on the cover. So it's the May 10th issue.
Another thing I think we haven't actually said this episode is that the teaser trailer is coming out this Tuesday, May 7th. So I know that we are doing a hangout live with Bob Orsi, Gavin Hood, and Asa Butterfield at 1 p.m. Pacific time, which is 4 p.m. Eastern. Come check that out. It's going to be a blast. There's so many fan sites showing up, a lot of fans from Twitter. It's going to be such a good time. I know we're debuting the trailer live in the Hangout, and then from what I understand, it will be online after that on YouTube and Google. So just super exciting, and you guys should definitely tune in and watch Crystal and I
make jerks out of ourselves.
And you can, you know, laugh at us as we try to keep straight faces during the premiere of the trailer online. So I
just hope that I don't scream or anything, because that would be mortifying.
You wouldn't do that. No. we are grown-ups and we are professionals.
I don't know, I've been waiting for Ender's Game for 22 years.
I know, it's been so long.
That's a long time. But yeah, I like to think I'll keep myself professional.
Right.
Do you think they want professional, or do they want fangirling?
I
don't want to be a fangirl. I'm too old to be a fangirl.
I think I'm somewhere in the middle. Some bizarre place in the middle.
All right, so be sure to check out our past episodes at our website, www.endercast.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @EGEndercast and search for us, search for Endercast on Facebook. Thanks for listening.
Bye, guys.